Oh, welcome back. It's Musicology. Joy Division there. Isolation off their 1980s album, Closer. That was the album, their last album, right before Ian Curtis unfortunately committed suicide. But fortunately, we're back here with Musicology. The 8th installment of Musicology. Doesn't matter what number, we're doing the 1980s this week. We talked a little bit about the 1970s last week. Now we're here talking about the 1980s. Last week I left you with some Bela Lugosi's Dead off of that Bauhaus single hit that they made, not off a particular album that I know of, because I didn't check. But the reason I played that song for you is because we were going to do a transition into some of the music in the 80s. That sort of alternative, maybe new wave sound, we'll get to talking in a little bit. We also talked about some progressive rock in the 1970s with King Crimson, bands like Yes, Pink Floyd, of course. We discussed punk, its influence on reggae, with bands like The Police, The English Beat, The Talking Heads. So some different, very different music from what we've seen so far, and it still is changing. But I do want to go back to one person in particular who was extremely influential and who sort of was a catalyst for what the 1980s was and what it became. And that was, of course, Mr. George Clinton. And George Clinton in the 1970s was huge. He did Funkadelic, which was also known as Parliament, with Bootsy, and a lot of other great musicians, sort of taking funk to a different level. He was very avant-garde, very creative, and what he liked to do was he liked to take synthesizers, and he really, really stretched the synthesizers. Those are two words I wouldn't suggest saying at the same time. He stressed using synthesizers. There we go. And towards his last album, and at the time it wasn't completely accepted, and I mean, it didn't really go very far with Flashlight. So after that, a lot of other bands, mainly in New York, started to pick up this album, and they started to recognize the different type of musical instruments that George used. And one man in particular, Afrika Bambaataa, really enjoyed that sound, really enjoyed the computer sound. And he didn't just look up to George Clinton, but he also looked to Europe and Asia with bands like Kraftwerk and Yellow Magic Orchestra, who were using a lot of computer-orientated machines to generate their music. They were essentially what was going to be known as techno, what was going to be known as hip-hop, actually. I have a little soundbite here for you of just what I'm talking about with how music, that electro music from Europe, sort of came into America and how it transitioned. And this is like a perfect example. Just hear me out. So for some of you hip-hop lovers out there, you probably thought that was Afrika Bambaataa's Planet Rock, but that was actually the original Trans-Europe Express by Kraftwerk, the 1977 hit that they did over in Germany. Afrika Bambaataa saw that, he took that sound, and he made his infamous hit, which essentially, if you like hip-hop, there's a couple different songs that you can say might be the original first ever hip-hop song. But here on Musicology, Planet Rock is the original first ever hip-hop song. And here's how you can see they took that trans Europe beat and they made it into something else. African Bambaataa did, and put poetry over it and made it something that was new and underground. So here you go. Let's listen to this one.
We know a place where the nights are hot. It is a house of folk, females and males, both young and old. Called the disco, the DJ plays your favorite blast. Takes you back to the past. Music's magic. Oof, hop on funk, get bumped with some class. People.
Rock, rock to the planet rock. Don't stop. Rock, rock to the planet rock. Don't stop.
The soul sonic force. Mr. Big. Powwow and glow. We emphasize to show we got ego. Let this show night just live it right in my day. As the people say, live it up. Shoot. For work or play, our world is free. Be what you be, it's me.
I'm guessing you could see the similarities there. Very much a big influence on the mainstream underground, the mainstream culture later, but underground back then, which was hip-hop. Hip-hop wasn't accepted. That was kind of something I find interesting, that how popular it is now and where we see it in mainstream society now. During the 1980s, and as the 1980s started and music was primarily still white, after the 1970s left and people kind of abandoned funk as well as punk, they wanted to revert back to the Springsteens and more white kind of American freedom rock musicians, much like we kind of saw with bands like Kansas and Boston. So that was the way the mentality was sort of keeping on. But for every, you know, Springsteen and like Tom Petty, you know, there was a Grandmaster Flash being born, thankfully. And it was underground, so it kept it real. And that's why the music became the way it was. And that's why when we talk about it in a little bit with bands like NWA and bands like Public Enemy, that it was music for the people, by the people. We're going to talk about those guys later. I unfortunately can't play any songs for you by them. I couldn't find any censored versions out there, which is a good and a bad thing, I guess. I wish I could play the uncensored versions for you, but I can't. But you can listen to them. We'll talk about that in a minute. But that was Planet Rock off of the infamous Planet Rock album, which African Bambaataa released in 1980. And it was the catalyst for music. Once that went down, everything went down. After that, Grandmaster Flash started remixing. He started scratching. He took a lot of the idea of sampling and used it in his own career, finding different ways to take records and drop them at the beat, using horns just for like that snap, kind of like what James Brown was doing, but except with a computer. That was extremely influential on how music was produced. Then you got guys like Run DMC using a sort of a tougher sound, more of a bassier sound, rock and roll, I would put it, and making that into a different genre of hip-hop, I would say, a harder rap, I would put it, with Run DMC, Russell Simmons, those three guys working together. Yeah, I want to play some more music for you because, you know, talking here, I just sound like an idiot, and you want to hear African Bambaataa. Here is Looking for the Perfect Beat off of that electronic record he made, Planet Rock. Probably one of my favorite songs off the album. Check it out if you can. Here it is. I want to play it for you right now. Here you go. Here on Musicology, on radio.dominican.edu. Don't go away. It's going to get better, I promise. Don't worry.
Universal people looking for for the perfect beat.
Searching for the perfect beat.
Looking for the perfect beat.
Seeking for the perfect beat.
I must get mine.
I'm about to get it.
I must get mine.
I'm about to get it. Now in this world of music, there are many different tones.
Tell them
if there's no satisfaction, just take for some action.
Listen up, listen up.
On your radio, you hear perfect beats play.
Bambada there, off Planet Rock. That's a great album. Check it out, 1980. One of the first ever hip-hop albums ever to make. It wasn't exactly mainstream. People were more interested at the time with television. I mean, you got color TV now, and what is it? 92% of Americans all are watching TV on a daily basis. By high school graduation, more kids had spent time watching TV than they had in class. So why would you want to listen to this new underground music that essentially speaks the truth and is trying to do something new when you could be watching Bruce Springsteen on the television set with your family? But that's what was happening in the Bronx. That's what's happening in all of New York. We had guys like Grandmaster Flash. We had guys like African Bambaataa there, essentially making a living off of this new sound, which was created off synthesizers, an electronic beat, something new we haven't really heard here on Musicology. You could definitely tell right there the influence that Kraftwerk and a couple of different electro bands had on African Bambaataa there. And interesting thing about African Bambaataa was that he was trying to create the Zulu Nation, essentially trying to create awareness around the black community and to use art as a medium for essentially any injustices that might occur, art as a medium to sort of channel that anger against those injustices. African Bambaataa, first ever rap hip-hop genius. He also tagged the term hip-hop It had been going around, but he used it to describe it as the community rapping, not different from hip-hop, rap just a part of the whole community that is hip-hop. If you were wondering what the difference was there, African Mbata did that. But there were also different bands coming out of New York and around New York, not necessarily in the city. A band in particular that struck a chord with me back when I was in high school and still does and is probably one of the most well-known hip-hop bands to this date started in Long Island, you know, in the suburbs, away from any street urban mess that might be going on. Just a bunch of guys putting down a record, 1989. I don't know if you know it, 3 Feet High and Rising, the men themselves, De La Soul. One of the most influential albums they created in 1989 was 3 Feet High and Rising. It's considered, actually, the Sgt. Pepper's of hip-hop, so you can see the influence it had on a lot of people. The band gained national attention for this album. It sold, like, more than any other hip-hop album at the time. It's 357 on Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Albums of all time, so you can kind of see the influence it has. Rolling Stones, not too many hip-hop albums on that list, and this one made it, of course. I wanted to play an NWA song for you, and I wanted to play a Public Enemy song for you, just to kind of show how music was becoming about the people, for the people, essentially spreading awareness in essentially urban areas about humble beginnings. We haven't seen too much of that, maybe with the blues, some people talking about it, maybe with Louis Armstrong bringing up some social inequalities that might be happening, but hip-hop was a huge medium for that as well, in the black community, as well as other communities around that. NWA being from LA, the first West Coast band to really come out and bring up the topic of police injustice and social class inequalities. But I can't play that song for you. I could not find a censored version, and if you've never heard hip-hop, I probably wouldn't suggest going to that album first, Straight Outta Compton, or Public Enemy's album, which was, I believe, Do the Right Thing. Yeah, 1989. Great album. Check it out maybe after you've checked out this album, 3 Feet High and Rising by De La Soul. They're not hippies. I just want to point this out. You're going to hear this song in the next moment here. I know they're from Long Island, a few hours away from Woodstock, and the album cover does look like something that hippies would make. They're not hippies. They just love to make upbeat music, and they love to rap. And I think you'll be surprised to hear that this was created in 1989 because it's so progressive, and I want to play for you now because you're done with me talking here on Musicology on radio.dominican.edu. Don't go away. We got a lot more music, more rap, some new wave, some alternative, all the stuff you want to hear on radio.dominican.edu.
That's a magic number.
Three.
Yes, it is. It's the magic number.
Three.
Somewhere in this hip-hop soul community was born three mixed up in me, and that's a magic number.
What does it all mean?
Difficult preaching is posthumous pleasure. Pleasure in preaching starts in the heart. Something that stimulates the music in a measure. Measure in the music, racing three parts. Casually see, but don't do like the soul. Cause seeing and doing are actions for monkeys. Doing hip-hop, hustle, no rock and roll. Unless your name's Brewster, cause Brewster's a punk.
Three.
Parents let go, cause it's magic in the air. Criticizing rap shows you're out of order. Stop looking, listen to the phrase in Fred Astaire's. And don't get offended while Mace Do-Si-Do's your daughter. A dry camera roll system is now set. Fly around the store under Daisy Productions. It stands for the inner sound. Y'all in your Quebec, that the action's not a trick, but show me the function. Everybody wants to be a DJ, everybody wants to be an MC, but being speakers are the best, and you don't have to guess. De La Soul Posse consists of three, and that's a magic number.
Three.
This here piece of the pie is not dessert, but the cost that we dine at. Three out of every darn time, the effect is when a daisy grows in your mind. Showing true position, this here piece is kissing the part of the pie that's missing, where that negative number fills up your casualty.
Maybe you can subtract it. You can call it your lucky partner. Maybe you can call it your adjective. But odd as it may be, without my one and two, where would there be my three mates passing me? And that's the magic number.
What does it all mean?
Focus is formed by flaunt of the soul. Souls who flaunt style gain praises by pounds. Common on speakers who honor the scroll. Scroll written daily creates a new sound. Listeners listen, cause this here is wisdom. Wisdom of a speaker, a dumb and a plug. Set aside a legal substance and feed them for now. Get them high off this dialect drug. Time is a factor, so it's time to count. Count not the negative actions of one. Speakers of soul say it's time to shout. Three forms the soul to a positive sum. Dance to this fix and flex every muscle. Space can be filled if you ride like my lumber. Advance to the tune, but don't do the hustle. Shake, rattle, roll to my magic number. Now you may try to subtract it, but it just won't go away. Three times one.
What is it?
One, two, three.
That's a magic number. Greetings, girl, and welcome to my world of phrasing right up to bat. It's the daisy age, and you're about to walk top stage, so wipe your lottos on the mat. Hip-hop love, this is, and don't mind when I quiz your evolvements before the sun. But clear your court, cause this a one-man sport, and who's better for this than Plug One? Plug don't one. Have to worry about me squashing other deals, cause they've already been squished. Freeze a frame of our moves the same, wish we can continue right behind the bush. You'll stay with me, I know this, but not because of all my earthly treasures, or regardless to the fact that I'm passing the noose, but because... this dance to introduce myself as the chosen one to speak. Let me lay my hand across yours and aim a kiss upon your cheek. The name's Plug Two, and from the soul I bring you the daisy of your choice. May it be filled with a pleasure principle in circumference to my voice. About those other Jennies I reckoned with, lost them all like a homework excuse. This time the magic number is two, cause it takes two, not three, to seduce. My destiny of love is brought to an apex. Sex is a mere molecule in this world of lust that I have for you. It's true, true.
I know I love you better.
It's time to let this rhyme style get somewhat poured in the mold. Hold my hand and we'll pick my plantation of daisies for a bouquet of soul. Like at the cut of a rim. Take it as filled to the rim as in brim. Squeeze your stoop like Betty Boop, then make camel alphabet soup and spell Plug Ones within. Forward marching to say when transistors will play. Coming to bed is the move. Dolby sound will be then top crown when I put the needle into your groove. I got a good thing, and in full swing. Full swing. I show this in gifts, words or letters, but even without those three, I know you'd be close to me, cause
I know I love you better.
It's I again, and the soul that I send is taking steps to reach your heart. Any moment you feel alone, I can fill up your empty part. We
can ascend till we reach daylight heaven, and in a spin we'll hit the top 10. Then we could meet Mr. Stucky and Pop's brother Lucky will preach, let the wedding, the wedding. Shot by an arrow of Cupid through a string of a G-clef, my dear, I claim your death. And if you could hear me, by golly gee, true goy is ready for what you possess. We could live in my plug tube home, and on Mars where we could be all alone. And we make a song for two, picture perfect things, and I sing of how
I know I love you better.
De La Soul there, on radio.dominican.edu, 3 feet high and rising. Can't talk enough about that album. Check it out. If I could do a whole segment on that album, I would. You know I would. So that was happening in America. Unfortunately, at the same time in the 1980s, America and Warner Express put in $2 million for a company, for a program called MTV. We all know it. Initially, when it was launched, it was all about nonstop music programming, and the idea was to essentially get video onto, or music onto TV, and bring in the video format that we all know and love today. That killed radio. There's no bias here on radio.dominican.edu, but yeah, so that was one of the prominent things. We had people like Madonna coming out at the time. That was what was being spawned from MTV. That was essentially MTV's response to underground hip-hop music. Trying to market off of it was essentially bringing in people like Madonna. I think even Debbie Harry tried to rap. This is her attempt at rapping.
I said, my, flash is fast, flash is cool, Francois Safar, flash ain't no do, and you don't stop, shoe shot, go out to the parking lot, and get in the car, and drive real far, and drive all night, and then you see a light, and comes right down, and lands on the ground.
So yeah, we as a country let that happen. But luckily, at that same time, over across the pond in England, there was, over in Manchester, our boys from Joy Division got a hold of this synthesized music over happening in America that Art Baker was producing, and they wanted a piece of it. Unfortunately, as I mentioned earlier, 1980, May 18th, 1980, Ian Curtis, the singer, the infamous singer from Joy Division, committed suicide right after Closer was made, after Closer was finished, the album. And the band decided to keep going, and they reformed as New Order with all the same band members, but with Bernard Sumner as the lead singer, Bernard Sumner being the guitarist. And he wanted to bring in electropop into the European market, especially in England. They were from Manchester. They wanted to bring in that synthesized sound, as they had been known to try different experimental things in the past. With Joy Division, of course. And so while this was happening, they essentially went to New York and they sat down in the studio with a producer, Art Baker, and they decided that, like, they were just gonna, not Art Baker, but, jeez, who's the producer off the top? They sat down, they didn't know what to do, so they just came out with this next song I'm about to play for you, Thieves Like Us. And you can kind of see the heavy influence that hip-hop played. But what happened with New Order was they wanted to play a much heavier influence on the drum beat. And that's going to play a huge role in how techno was formed and how New Wave was formed. was because this idea that the drum beat was the major key. We see with reggae sometimes where the beat was heavily influenced on bass, with this new sound with hip hop, it was focused on like dropping the beat and bringing in different samples. But New Order comes in with their drummer and they were like, let's just make it all about the drumming. Here, you can check it out for yourself here. This is Thieves Like Us off Power, Corruption, and Lies, their most infamous album, in my opinion. I don't want to say that. I know a couple people are going to get mad at me. Check it out here. Radio.demacon.edu. New Order. Don't go away.
for every evil. Love is an air, it supports the eagle. It's called love, and it's so uncool. It's called love, and somehow it's become unmentionable.
New Order, Power, Corruption, Lies. That's the album, 1983. Thieves Like Us is the song. Check that album out. It's a personal favorite of mine. I'm not going to say it's the best album, but it is. That essentially was the catalyst for a lot of dance music. If you're into techno, you might as well thank New Order for, in a sense, starting it. That was the catalyst for bands like Depeche Mode, essentially using heavier synthesizers. Synth pop, I think, is the genre that it would be considered. It was practically used around clubs. I think the producer after Lies, Corruption, and after that song, was released, took it to the club, and generally where you'd have to wait like 4 months to hear a song after you've recorded it, they waited a couple hours and it was already being played in the club that night as they were celebrating the recording of it. So, I mean, that's kind of how that worked at that time. That was the dance scene coming out of Manchester, the boys, New Order. But the biggest thing that was happening in the U.S. at the time during the 1980s, we all know, was MTV, Michael Mania. That sort of just pushed soul, what we had with Berry Gordy and Motown, into just a new giant like genre of music. It's the most popular thing since the Beatles. Time said that Michael Jackson is the most popular thing since the Beatles and Elvis, and that's not arguable. So at that time, struggling artist, 19-year-old Prince, he's trying to make his way up, and then here comes Michael Jackson in 1983 with Thriller, 1984, sorry, with Thriller, 1982, sorry, I'm way off. 1982 with Thriller, the most hard-selling album of all time, like 30 million copies, 40 million copies by that year. So, you know, tremendous hit. Prince still trying to, still struggling a little bit, not exactly making like as much progress as Michael there, but still trying. And he, during 1984, released not only a movie, but also the infamous album Purple Rain, which, as we all know, is Prince's essentially Stairway to Heaven. It's his big album that essentially pushed him to, you know, 14 million copies sold in a year. That's what pushed him. And Prince essentially just had hit after hit after hit with albums in the 1980s and songs. I mean, you had 1999 coming out and breaking barriers, Sign of the Times, which we're going to play in a little bit. And he was taking funk, psychedelic rock, pop. So kind of branching away from what we've been seeing with synthesizers. He didn't really, he more or less stayed true to his roots, which was James Brown and a lot more funk artist, Jimi Hendrix, who he's a big fan of, I know that much, and didn't necessarily sort of adhere to the synthesizer nonsense, no. The synthesizer sound, I gotta stop saying S synthesizers, that was going on at the time, and this next song I'm gonna play for you is sort of, it's his call back to funk, and that's what Prince did. He wanted to keep things funky, even when he was making, like, Little Red Corvette and Let's Go Crazy. He always wanted to keep it funky. That's why he had that problem with his record labels, because he didn't get to not only get the money, but he didn't get to decide what sound he was going to make. And here with Sign of the Times, he's doing his own sound and making his own genre of music in a sense. So here's Prince off Sign of the Times, the 1987 album. If you're a huge Prince fan, you'll love this song. If you're not, please check out Prince. He's any decade here. I talk a lot about musicology, and there's certain artists that are just, you can listen to at any decade, and they're the best. In my opinion, Prince, one of my favorite artists. Please check him out here on radio.dominican.edu with musicology. I'm DJ Wise. Don't go away. We've got some better music to finish off this segment, and I'm sure you'll like it. It'll be a little bit confusing, but you'll like it.
Dorothy was a waitress on the promenade. She worked the night shift. Dishwater blonde, tall and fine. She got a lot of tips. Well, earlier I'd been talking stuff in a violent room, fighting with lovers past. I needed someone with a quicker whip than mine. Dorothy was fast. Well, I ordered.
Yeah, let me get a fruit cocktail. I ain't too hungry.
Dorothy laughed. She said, it sound like a real man to me. You're kind of cute. You wanna take a bath?
Do you want?
Bath? Oh, I said, cool. I'm leaving my pants on. Cause I'm kinda cool. Someone, she said, sound like a real man to me. Mind if I turn on the radio? Oh, my favorite song, she said, and it was Joni singing.
Help me, I think I'm bored.
Ring, phone rang, and she said, whoever's calling can't be as cute as you.
Right then and there, I knew I was through.
Next time I do it sooner.
Oh, there's Prince. Don't tell me you don't like Prince. If you're not a Prince fan, you just haven't listened to enough Prince yet. That was off Sign of the Times, Ballad of Dorothy Parker there. Keeping it funky, you can definitely tell the heavier bass line on that compared to some of the other songs we've heard. So Prince, still keeping it funky as he always does. If you have a chance to see Prince in concert, if he's touring in your town, please do. I saw him. He was fantastic. He is the best performer in the world. I've heard that thousands of times, and it's very much so true. But stepping away from synthesized music as well as pop and funk, I want to start talking about alternative music and the role that's going to play with grunge music as we delve into the 1990s, the very late 80s here, with bands taking a different approach to music where guitar was a big influence now, again, we see, and sort of that cycle. And with bands like the band I'm about to play for you right now, the Pixies, bands like Sonic Youth, bands like Nine Inch Nails, essentially a whole different myriad of different bands that are essentially using a harder influence on guitar as opposed to drums and bass. And Doolittle, which came out in 1989 and is known as like one of the greatest albums of all time. It's 226 on the 500 greatest albums of all time, according to Rolling Stone. You don't have to listen to Rolling Stone, however, it really is one of the greatest albums of all time. Not one single song isn't listenable on that song. It was released 1989, October 31st. The band, Joey Santiago, Black Francis, Kim Deal, and Dave Lovering, took sort of a simple sound and made it hardcore. It was what would be the answer to punk leaving. You know, with funk leaving, we got different bands like Prince, and we got Michael Jackson for Motown, and then synthesizers with different bands like Joy Division. But Doolittle sort of took punk and surf rock and made it this newer alternative form of music that we're going to listen to in a second here. If you have a chance, check out Surfer Rosa, check out Bossa Nova, this album, Doolittle, here. This is essentially my favorite album ever. I was introduced to it in high school. And then also I'm going to play for you a song by Sonic Youth, another great band, which focused mainly on guitar. Like, Lee Ranaldo and Thurston Moore are just, like, they are the centerfold of that band, and you can definitely see where music is heading in the 1990s with a heavier influence on distorted guitar. And you're going to love it here on radio.dominican.edu. Check out this album, Doolittle. The Pixies, one of the most influential bands of all time, according to David Bowie. So, I don't know. Maybe he's a good person to listen to. Don't go away. I'm going to say goodbye to you right after this. Musicology is ending, though, with these last two songs here on radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Wise. Thank you for listening. Here is The Pixies. You've been waiting for. Thank you. That was Daydream Nation by Sonic Youth. The album is Daydream Nation. The first song I played for you there was Mr. Greaves off of Doolittle from the Pixies. That was the 1989 album that sort of set them apart from everyone else. And from what we understand about these bands is that they're going to set the stage for the next coming generation of music. So next week in the 1990s, we are going to look at Generation X. Don't be scared. We're going to look at some grunge rock, of course. That's what you think of when you think of the 90s. But we're also going to look at some stoner metal, some sludge rock, some Britpop that was big in the 90s. Also some more hip-hop, because that's when hip-hop really hit its huge boom. Don't worry, we're not going to look at any Bruce Springsteen, Tom Petty bands anymore. It's all going to be good here from now on Musicology, on radio.dominican.edu. It's been really fun. I'm glad I got to show you African Bambaataa and De La Soul and New Order, all some of my favorite bands, and I love showing you my music. I hope you enjoyed it. Check out those albums. Check out Prince, please, Sign of the Times. Check out African Bambaataa with Planet Rock and De La Soul with, of course, 3 Feet High and Rising, if I can tell you to check out three albums. So thank you for listening. It's been great. I got to go to sleep now. Enjoy your night here on radio.dominican.edu. Here is some Usher, apparently. Thank you for listening.
And it won't be long before you and me rock.